We'll call the meeting to order and we'll note the presence of a quorum. First item on the agenda is to approve the minutes of the members' meeting held on October 28th, 2022. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition, so motion carries. And the next item is Kathy Bauman to go over the agenda.
Thank you, Harry. So first up, we have Mary John, who will be presenting the fiscal year 2023 first quarter financial report. And I just want to note that both Mary and Ellen will be covering the banking situation over the past 2 weeks in their reports, so we can discuss that at those times. And then Ellen will present the debt and investment report. And then filling in for Mary Hom this meeting is Jeremy Boyer, a credit analyst in the credit risk department, who'll be presenting a report on credit risk. And in the internal audit side, Neil Saranga, our senior internal auditor, will be presenting the internal audit report and also presenting the fiscal year 2023 second quarter audit plan. And we have a special guest today. We have Colleen Duffy from BDO, and she will be presenting the QAR report. And that's it. So, Harry, back to you.
Okay, thank you. Well, first item is the debt report. Ellen?
Financial.
Well, on my list here, debt report is the next item.
I think there was a, I apologize, I don't know how this happened, but I just noticed, I think, a difference maybe in even the, did we get the minute date right? There was a new circulation that went out this morning.
Yes. Oh.
So, but we can someone shoot that over to Harry? But in the meantime, it looks like it moved around. So item four, Harry, is a presentation of the fiscal year 2023 first quarter financial report, parenthetically unaudited, and the presentation is by Mary John. So I'll just put that out there for you if you want to. Okay. Thank you.
Right. And then we'll go into that for the fiscal first quarter 2023 report. Right.
Yes. Thank you, Harry. Good morning, everybody. So the first quarter of fiscal year 2023 financials covers the period November 1, 2022 through January 31st, 2023. As of the end of the first quarter, revenues exceeded expenses by $169.1 million, compared with the same period in fiscal year 2022, when net income was $49.5 million. The increase was largely due to the improvement of the fair value the corporation's investment securities. The investment portfolio fair market value increased by $70.8 million from fiscal year end 2022 and was recorded as an unrealized gain. Excluding the fair value adjustment, net income would have been $98.3 million. Recent events surrounding the collapse of two regional banks have put the spotlight on businesses' investment portfolios. HDC's investments are mostly comprised of U.S. government agency securities and money market deposits. All bank deposits are fully collateralized with the Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit or securities held by a third party and are deemed safe. Operating revenues for this period was $184.1 million compared to $176.4 million during the same period last year. Mortgage interest earnings increased by $16.4 million or 12% from a year ago. However, mortgage-related fees decreased by $11.1 million as there were fewer loans closed this period. Non-operating revenues, which mainly consist of investment earnings, saw a significant increase largely due to the aforementioned increase in the fair market value. However, realized investment earnings increased by $10.3 million from a year ago. Operating expenses increased by $14.4 million, primarily due to the increase in bond interest expense. Total assets were at $22.2 billion, an increase of $629.1 million, or 2.9% from fiscal year end 2022. This increase was mainly due to the corporation's ongoing lending activities, as mortgage loan advances during the period was at $655.2 million. The mortgage portfolio, net of conduit loans, was at $17.9 billion and comprised of 80.5% of total assets, is currently performing relatively well. The delinquency rate as of January 31st was below 2% of monthly billings. Total liabilities were at $18.3 billion, a net increase of $460 million, or 2.6% from fiscal year end 2022. Bonds and debt obligations increased by a net of $398.7 million, New issuances for the period were at $696.8 million, while principal repayments were at $296.4 billion. Net position at the end of the first quarter was at $3.8 billion, up by $169.1 million from fiscal year end 2022. This concludes my remarks. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't see the update on my phone, Eric, so.
So I'll just read them out for you and then you can authorize, yeah. I guess. Okay. So item five we're up to is the debt report, and that presentation is by Ellen Duffy.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. The corporation's debt report is as of February 28th, 2023. The last debt report presented to the audit committee was as of November 30th, 2022. During this time, the corporation issued six series of bonds in the amount of $696.8 million. And their bond redemption, six series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $38.3 million. The corporation's debt outstanding as of February 28th is approximately $15 billion. The corporation's statutory debt capacity stands at $18 billion. Any questions?
There being none, then we'll go to item number six, which is?
Item six is the investment report. Also presented by Ellen Duffy.
Okay,
thank you. Corporation's investment report is as of March 20th, 2023. The funds under management total approximately $5.2 billion. And this report reflects routine investment activity. As Mary discussed in her report, the corporation has demand deposits with various banks. In accordance with the corporation's investment guidelines, the deposits with banks listed under the certificate of deposit and demand deposit sections of the attached investment report are collateralized with a letter of credit with the Federal Home Loan Bank or U.S. government securities. On March 12, 2023, Signature Bank was closed by the New York State Department of Financial Services, which appointed the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, as receiver. Track depositors, the FDIC transferred all the deposits and substantially all the assets of Signature Bank to Signature Bridge Bank, N.A., a full-service bank that was operated by the FDIC as it marketed the institution to potential bidders. The transfer of all deposits was completed under the systematic risk exception approved on March 12th, 2023. All depositors of the institution were made whole. HTC's letters of credit remained in place as well. So we're always secure with those deposits. On March 19th, 2023, the FDIC entered into a purchase and assumption agreement for substantially all the deposits and certain loan portfolios of Signature Bridge Bank by Flagstar Bank, a wholly owned subsidiary of New York Community Bank Corp. The 40 former branches of Signature Bank are operating under New York Community Bancorp's Flagstar Bank as of Monday, March 20th, 2023. The depositors of Signature Bridge Bank and other than the cash depositors related to the digital asset banking business automatically became depositors of the assuming institution. All deposits assumed by Flagstar Bank will continue to be insured by the FDIC up to the insurance limit. The corporation has had a banking relationship and deposits with Flagstar Bank, New York Community Bank, which is part of Flagstar. The corporation's balance and letters of credit were transferred to Flagstar Bank, and our letter of credit remain in place under the name of Flagstar now. Are there any questions?
My question, I'm just wondering whether there are other banks in our sort of portfolio that we're watching, because there's some signal. It's not out in the market, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, so all our banks that we do have deposits do have most have the Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. There's one or two that do have securities that are valued daily at 103. We did what happened when the Signature went under. We did do a review. We asked all the banks for their information. We spoke to several of the banks. And working with credit, we did a review of all our banks, looking at their held to maturity deposits versus their current assets. And we are working to try and get all Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit for one of the banks. We're working with them to try and get that. We don't see any credit concerns at this time. We did open up another account with Wells Fargo Bank as to have a larger bank. We'll put some money in there. Their rate is very low compared to what we get for the other banks. But we had we've closed banking relations with all these banks, and we don't see any red flags at this point, but we are continuously monitoring them.
Well, it's not directly impacting HDC, but just to share quickly, the concerns on the community development side are that there will be a tightening, that many of the not-for-profits depend on grants, even though they're relatively small, from this pool of like regional and small banks. And many of the small business developers also, this might be their point of entry that might be now tightening. So we are concerned about the volume of activity that might come out of community development land as a result of what's happening in the banking industry.
Yeah, let me just add to what Ellen has said too. We're watching that as well, because these things often happen in multiple parts. So there's kind of the banking crisis, and then there's the credit question and the real estate side of it. So we're kind of shifting some attention. We feel, as you can hear from Ellen, we feel really secure on the banking and investment side. What we are watching now is how it ripples through on the credit contraction, potentially, as people revalue counterparty risk and that sort of thing. And then also what may be happening and on the real estate side. We've had some developers raise concerns about what's happening with lenders, kind of tightening up a bit. We think we're going to see that. And there's also the question of, what is the condition of some of these portfolios in banks that are moving, and might there be some risks, but also potential opportunities in that as well. So we hear you loud and clear, and it's kind of keeping a focus on all sides of that. And I won't even say both sides, because these things happen to be usually are multifaceted. So, yeah.
We keeping a little eye on Barclays.
We don't currently have any deposits with Barclays. We do have some liquidity facilities with Barclays for some of our variable rate demand bonds. We don't have any bank deposits with them at this point, or there's no funds invested with them.
Okay.
We can take a look at them as well.
Yeah. We're kind of scanning, in addition to the investment side, we're scanning for where any of these banks might be lenders in deals, but also to a lesser extent, sometimes folks are tax credit investors in deals. But usually that's, unless you catch it in an off moment, usually that's already invested. So it's the tax credit piece is probably less of a concern, but it's more the lending and the other pieces. But we're keeping an eye on everything, as you can tell. Yeah.
Other than Bornato and their $500 million write-off, we have any other developers that we need to keep an eye on?
Not that I would call out here. I think we would have to do that in a more systematic kind of review to present something formally to folks. But, we're keeping an eye. I think generally there's this kind of watchful caution on the market in general because of what we've all been through. There was the eviction moratorium. There's a significant amount of lost rent in the system. There's some other stressors on the system and there's a lot of inflation. And we happen to be, not all these crises have they rhyme, but they don't match. So this is kind of different than 92. It's different than 2008 and 9 because we're in an environment where there's these kind of unique stressors, including the missing rent, but also the inflation with higher interest rates. You don't have that easy, as many people have called out, you don't have the easy answer of like a refi, right? It's not just, we're watching a lot of different program pieces. We also have a bunch of different programs in our portfolio, some of which are more or less affected by those stressors. So we're kind of breaking out by program and keeping an eye on segments, but we're happy to bring more information as we develop that. But we're watching the programs pretty carefully.
We're also taking a close look at commercial real estate.
Yeah.
The big issue usually in these financial panics is more psychological than anything else, and that's something that HTC or nobody else has any control over. And that's my main concern is, emotional reaction to something that's not as bad as they think it is, but it's emotional and, things start going downhill. So I don't have any answer to stopping people from getting panicked or emotional about the financial situation, but that's usually where I think the point of potential harm is that people act irrationally, emotionally, and that it takes on a life of its own.
That's all true, and I think it kind of calls the question on the FDIC situation. So there's that panic or a suspension of disbelief, however you want to view it. It's a real, I think there's going to be some modification based on, people kind of realizing that that's a risk.
Okay.
Although on the containing side, one of the things seemed to be like nobody knows where to put that money anyway, right? So like so it's hard. Anyway, we could go on and on about it, but if there are, when there are specific questions, particularly on the real estate side, we'll bring them as well, either here or to the board. Harry, I agree with everything you said. There seemed to be a bit of panic that set in that seems, at least for now, stemmed a bit by the quick action of FDIC and Treasury.
Okay. Do we have a new heading for number 7?
Yeah, number 7 is the report on credit risk. The presentation is by Jeremy Boyer, who's making his appearance today. So,
okay, we'll start that report.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Since the last report to the audit committee, we added an enhancement to the counterparty report. On the final page is a summary of HCC's interest rate hedges and corresponding counterparties, which is new to the report. The report before you was dated as of March 22nd, 2023. The previous report to the audit committee was dated December 31st, 2022. There was one rating agency action of notice, the withdrawal of the credit rating for Signature Bank by Moody's in response to the bank's shutdown earlier this month. There were no new approved counterparties. HCC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures being with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Wells Fargo. The Wells Fargo exposure is primarily in the form of construction letters of credit covering 24 projects. Investments rated AA or higher were 57% of total investments versus 56% at the last report, while investments rated BBB or not rated were 28% of total investments versus 18% at the last report. This increase is primarily due to the repositioning of funds from Signature Bank. All investments rated BBB or not rated are fully collateralized by high quality U.S. Treasury or agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. HCC exposure to liquidity providers was unchanged at approximately $484 million. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, is number 8 the approval of the first quarter audit plan?
It's actually, sorry, I apologize for this, and we just talked about this internally. Number 8 is the internal audit report, and that presentation is by Neil Saranga.
Okay. Neil?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Since the last audit report to the audit committee on January 13, 2023, internal audit completed 3 internal audit projects. First was the 2022 employee expenses audit. Our audit objectives were to determine whether adequate controls exist to ensure that employee expenses and other related expenses were appropriate, properly authorized, and accurately recorded, and evaluate and test compliance with HDC's policies and procedures relating to employee and other related expenses. We found the corporation's guidelines to be effective and found no matters involving internal controls and its operation that we considered to be material weaknesses. Next was the 2022 President's Office Expenses Audit. Our audit objectives were to evaluate the accuracy of the President's Office expenses recorded in Oracle and ensure they were accurately reflected in the general ledger, and evaluate whether the expenses classified under the President's Office adhere to the applicable policies and procedures for employee expense reimbursements. We found the corporation's guidelines to be effective and found no matters involving internal controls and its operation that we considered to be material weaknesses. As a reminder to the audit committee, the employee expenses and President's Office expenses audits are required to be performed each year pursuant to the 2003 MOU between HDC and the city's Department of Investigation. Finally, on the 2022 continuous monitoring of investments, our audit objectives were to determine whether the investment portfolio complies with all aspects of HDC's investment guidelines and determine whether investments were accurately recorded on custodial bank statements. We monitored the investment portfolio throughout the year on a quarterly basis and found that the portfolio complied with all aspects of the HDC investment guidelines. Additionally, the investment portfolio was supported by custodial bank statements and regularly reconciled. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Any questions?
No questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to be living with this process ad infinitum, because I can still remember getting a call from Mayor Bloomberg and Felice Machete, who was president of the agency, commissioner at the time, and I were invited down to discuss the Hardin situation, and the head of the DOI was there as well. So I'm certainly convinced this will be ongoing ad infinitum to review these items. So,
we have a good working relationship, and it's probably it's a good thing. It's good. So I hear you.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, you understand it. There's a lot.
That was obviously an embarrassing moment for everybody.
Yep.
My one comment to the commissioner was with reference to DOI, head of DOI, says, Felice, I wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley. but everything worked out okay.
Okay.
Anything?
Item 10 is where is the presentation of the. You have to do the audit plan. Call for a vote.
Yeah. So approval of the fiscal year 2023 first quarter audit plan. Mary?
Thank you. A motion for the internal audit report, right?
First. Approval for fiscal year 2023 second quarter audit plan. We need a motion, a second, and a vote.
Should I present? Let me present that first.
Yes, you have to present it first.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm pleased to present for the members' approval an internal audit plan for the second quarter of 2023. The proposed projects for the second quarter include the continuation of two advisory projects, an internal audit, and continuous monitoring of the investment portfolio. If there are no questions, the members of the audit committee are requested to approve the second quarter 2023 audit plan.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There being no opposition, the motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay.
And now the next item in the new agenda.
Yeah, presentation of the QAR report by BDO.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I've met some of you through this process, but for those of you who don't know, I'm Colleen Duffy. I'm a managing director with BDO in the risk advisory services practice, and I led the QAR review of the internal audit function. I'll share my screen just so you can see the report, but I will just go over it at a high level and then see if you have any questions that I can dive into. So overall, the objective was to provide an opinion as to the conformance with the IIA standards, the IIA, the Institute of Internal Auditors. And the way we performed the review was to do a combination of reviewing documentation and performing interviews. The result is generally conforms, which is good, which is what you would like to see. And as a result of our procedures performed, we identified some strong practices of the internal audit function and also have outlined some recommendations for, you know, continuous improvement. The strong practices is that, broadly speaking, the internal audit function is perceived as independent, well-respected, and knowledgeable across the organization. People noted that there was a strong focus on value add and providing recommendations to improve the organization, as opposed to someone looking to an organization or a function that was looking to find issues just to report them. There were definitely, we reviewed the documentation, which was largely consistent with IIA standards as well. We will note that the observations and recommendations, there were 8 of them. I kind of summarized them into two categories for myself. One of them is sort of like technical compliance or conformity with the IIA standards. Those include a comment regarding the audit committee charter, specifically saying that one of the responsibilities of the audit committee is to approve the IA charter. It should state that. We have a comment regarding the dual role of the chief audit executive and chief risk officer. A recommendation regarding a documented impairment process so that the internal audit function stays independent, and a comment regarding the specific acknowledgement of the IIA code of ethics as opposed to the organizational one in particular. The second group would be what I would say is the practices of the internal audit function. And this, so there was just a comment regarding potential use of specialized resources for certain areas that may call for it, like technology, a recommendation related to defining the number of continuing education credits required by the internal audit team, some improvements related to document retention, and a recommendation related to the process to formalize the follow-up on issues that have been noted as a result of the internal audits. So overall, again, the rating was generally conforms, which is a good rating. And that concludes my presentation, but open to questions if anybody has any.
Any questions?
No questions.
Right, the next item, Eric.
We're up to other business and then a vote to okay. If there is no.
Okay. Is there any other business? There being no other, I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries and the meeting is adjourned.